You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Braden Gall, Derek Mason, live from Kitchen Notes here at the Omni Nashville Hotel on a Friday morning. Tennessee Titans and Tennessee Volunteers both with a bye week. Nick Cale apparently on bye as well, although I believe they call it the Tito's flu. He was posting on Twitter last night at 9:43 p.m., and then by 3 a.m., Derek, he was sick. So I don't know. He won some bets last night on the Cleveland Browns, so I'm calling foul here. Mostly for the sake of show business here.
Yeah,
Marquise Munson back in the Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. And listen, one of the big stories, and you know a lot about this because you've said this to me before. You think James Wiseman, a former Nashville prep basketball player, was it at CPA? Is that correct?
No, Ensworth.
Ensworth, sorry. Yeah. You think he's the number one pick in the draft?
Yeah. There's a lot of people believe that he is potentially the number one pick in the draft. 6'11 guy. He moves really well for a big guy. He can do just about anything on a basketball court.
So let's lay out some of the facts here before we get into why the NCAA is targeting the wrong person, in our opinion, in my opinion at least, and I'll get your thoughts on it too. But here are some of the facts for James Wiseman. In August of 2017, he lived in Nashville, Tennessee, and began playing for a Memphis-based AAU team coached by Penny Hardaway. Mm-hmm. A smart move if you're a basketball player. Yeah. I can see why you'd want to be coached by Penny Hardaway. Uh-huh. A star and a legend, all that stuff, it makes sense. Who better to get, you know, to get him ready and get him going in the state of Tennessee than maybe a guy like Penny Hardaway? So in that process, the family decides, all right, we're going to move to Memphis, mm-hmm. and he's going to enroll in East High School, where Penny was the coach at the time. Mm-hmm. So Wiseman goes.
And Penny took over because his good friend passed away.
Yes. Yeah. And so he becomes the head coach at East High School. He moves the family, who's on his AAU team now, moves the family, enrolls in high school, becomes a part of that high school. Well, at the time, Hardaway helped the family with about $11,000 of moving expenses to get the family to Memphis and enroll in East High School. Well, at the time, Penny was considered a booster of the Memphis Tigers, mm-hmm. Because he had donated money to Memphis in the mm-hmm. past, and he was not an employee of the university. So at the time, when James Wiseman then signs with Memphis, it becomes an illegal, illicit booster recruit relationship, even though Penny Hardaway's the coach. So you have to kind of separate the fact that Penny then got the job at Memphis. So James Wiseman then was suspended by the NCAA. They put an appeal in. He kind of played a couple of games. Now the appeal has been lost by Memphis, and he's sitting out. I do not understand why the NCAA, so a family and a young man who's in high school takes $11,000 in moving expenses mm-hmm. from a hundred millionaire NBA star Penny Hardaway. How is that the kid's fault? Like, if the richest person you knew mm-hmm. handed me $11,000 to help me move, I'm not saying no to the money.
Exactly.
There's no way I'm saying no. Penny Hardaway is the current basketball coach of a member institution of the NCAA. You should be suspending the basketball coach who broke the rule, not the young player who just was doing what he thought was in the best interest of his family. I do not understand. This is once again an area where the NCAA just, it feels like they're so misguided.
They are. It's just, I don't understand them. They are completely behind the times. They are completely out of the loop in regards to what's going on. So you're going to blame the person that the individual young man and his family, his mom, nice family. You blame them for saying, hey, listen, we can't move to Memphis. It's just the cost is too much. We want to be there. We can't. We can't incur that cost right now. So Penny says, you know what? Here it is. I'm going to pay for the moving costs just to get you guys down here. And once you get down here, you find a job or whatever.
Who and at the time, he's not a coach.
He's not a coach at Memphis.
He's not a coach at Memphis. He's so a high time, he's just a dude.
Yeah, he's just a dude. And so you do all of that. Penny becomes coach. So you want to blame the guy that took the money and not the guy that offered the money. You want to punish the guy that took the money and not the guy, ultimately, that should be punished, and the only person punished is the guy that gave the money.
Well, and he's the adult, too.
And he's the adult.
Right.
I get it that his parents was involved as well. Sure. I understand that.
That's fair.
But, listen, the NCAA has to, they have to realize nowadays that this is not 1970, 1980, 1950, 40, whatever the case may be. Things are done a little bit different. And is it right what is going on in college sports, you know, backhand deals and all this other stuff? No, it's not right, but it happens. And you can't fault the young man for, you know, taking money.
Right.
And so he can get to a place where he then can further his career. It's not like they are consistently paying for this young man and his family's lifestyle. It was a one-off, and we get you down here. Now it's up to you to do whatever you need to do.
Well, and let's also, for the sake of this conversation, let's make sure that we're not being naive here.
Exactly.
This is a very extraordinarily talented player. Penny,
absolutely.
Penny obviously had eyes on the Memphis job. Mm-hmm. Let's not paint all these guys as like purely innocent. They broke the rules.
I'm saying Penny should be the one that's punished.
Now, the good news is it appears that the NCAA is going to be maybe a little bit more lenient on James Wiseman, a la Chase Young, the Ohio State defensive end right now, whose suspension was reduced to 2 games for taking money from an agent. A Heisman Trophy candidate at Ohio State. He's now only going to miss 2 games. He's going to miss one more. He'll be back for Penn State and for Michigan. And it appears that the NCAA is going to sort of go down that path, which is good for James Wiseman, which means he'll get to play. He won't be suspended indefinitely for the year. It could be a smaller or shorter suspension, which, again, it is against the rules for an elite-level recruit who's clearly an elite-level recruit. It's not like he didn't give him $11,000 because he was just a 5'2" guard that was going to go to like UT Martin. Like he gave him $11,000 because he thought
6'11"
because he was going to be a number one pick, right? So let's not be stupid or naive about the situation. It was a violation of the rule book. We can argue about the rule book for sure. Now I am grateful and hopeful that the NCAA will look at this and say, all right, we're not going to punish this young man for too much. This was wrong. They broke the rules. There needs to be a punishment of some kind. So let's punish him. I just think it should have been the coach. I just think Penny's the one who should. Will Wade is still employed at LSU after being caught on tape paying a mid-level recruit guard to come play at LSU. Sean Miller is still employed at Arizona after it is on tape that he's paying DeAndre Ayton $10,000 a month to play at Arizona. These guys are still employed. The student athlete can't play, but these guys are still employed. These millionaire coaches, they're the ones who are the ones that are ripping the system off.
They got the biggest lawyers. And they can kind of fight it. No, it's true.
No,
they got
right.
the biggest lawyers, and they can kind of fight it. And James, you know, he and his parents, they got to just go the route of, you know, we can appeal it and kind of sort of go from there. There's not much. We're not going to sit here and fight it and waste a bunch of money because ultimately we're going to end up not playing anyway. You know, they had a stay one time. He was able to play, and then they rescinded the stay. They kept him being ineligible for however long. To me, it's okay. You took the money, whether it be wrong or right, doesn't matter. You took the money; it was a violation. Okay, let's suspend the kid.
Like morally, we don't care.
Exactly.
Rule book wise, it broke the rule.
Let's suspend him 5 games.
Yeah, perfect.
5 games.
Perfect.
Suspend him. He's fine. Suspend Penny 5 games. Also. Or 10 games, whatever the case may be, he doesn't walk away scot-free. Because he of all people, knew what was going on.
And don't tell me he didn't want the Memphis job.
They say everybody knew.
He was building that AAU team and that high school
to
team
take all
to
those
bring
kids
them all
to
Memphis.
Memphis. Absolutely.
So if
you're going to suspend James Wiseman, suspend him 5 games, okay, fine. But Penny needs to be suspended double that.
I would agree with that. It doesn't need to be egregious. It doesn't need to be... You know, this massive issue where it drags out all season. Just go, look, you guys broke the rules. It's a little bit of a slap on the wrist, but we're not going to punish the player. We're going to punish the guy who actually broke the rules, the coach. And the coach is actually employed by the, you know, I don't know. So
I don't want to, because my thing is, I don't want to hurt those other players that had nothing to do with this for the whole season. Meaning, if I suspend James for the whole season, it's hurting James and it's hurting those other guys. And it shouldn't be that way. And Penny stays there. But then again, I don't want to suspend Penny for the whole season.
No.
Because then it hurts those guys that had nothing to do with it.
The even
median is suspend James for five games, suspend Penny for 7-10 games, and now everybody's back.
The punishment needs to fit the crime.
Exactly.
Because, again, I'm looking at Sean Miller, who was paying 10 grand what Penny did, a month to a player, and is still coaching.
Yeah.
So, like, again, the hypocrisy of the NCAA. Again, same thing with the Gino Auriemma and UT Vols situation. It's like these guys aren't – listen, they have their flaws and whatever, but it's the NCAA that didn't grant eligibility to the particular player that was transferring from Tennessee to UConn. Mm-hmm. It's the NCAA that if they didn't know about whatever it is that this young lady's going through, that's their fault. I'm 100% positive that they knew. Because there's no way Gino Auriemma is not going to tell them, hey, this is what's going on. Here's why we think she should be eligible right away.
Exactly.
And it's the NCAA. Like, Vols fans want to get mad at Gino because he went off on all this stuff. And I get that. You know, we want to blame UT. If they didn't help this young lady transfer, then we can blame UT for that. But really, all of this could have been fixed if the NCAA just let her play.
Yeah, you're right.
If the NCAA, and the same thing with this situation with James Wiseman, if the NCAA just for once just took into account the athlete first, we would never have these arguments. We would never have these discussions.
NCAA, rewrite your rule book. And I think everybody would be on, just not everybody, because there are some that just feel that the athlete, once they sign the scholarship, they have no rights.
I understand. That's how
some people feel. And this could be wrong. But
that was cool in 1994.
Absolutely. It's not cool.
When
now.
No one was making hundreds of millions of dollars. That's
now everybody's
difference.
Making hundreds of millions of dollars. Coaches are getting paid $8, $9 million a year.
Yep.
Five or six coaches, not all of them, but there are a lot of them getting paid. But there should be a clause in there where you sign that contract or you sign that scholarship. You have one time and one time only without any consequences.
Punishment, yeah.
You have one time to transfer.
Yep.
That's it.
I think a lot of us agree with that. Russ Rucker said that to us just a couple minutes ago. So we'll see. Butch Jones back in the news. We'll go around the world in college football. We got an update on Tua as well as the Deep South's oldest rivalry as well. We'll get to that when we come back. But I want to remind you guys about your internet. Good enough doesn't cut it. Xfinity Internet. Internet's better because it streams better. Yeah, you heard that right. Introducing Xfinity Flex, a personalized streaming dashboard that puts all your favorites in one place. So they're not scattered across a bunch of apps. It's searchable with your voice. So all you have to do is say, play romantic comedies, and it plays romantic comedies. Plus, it has over 10,000 free shows and movies. 10,000! That's about the same amount of money Penny paid for James Wiseman to move. Search less and watch more with the voice-controlled streaming device that's made for you. It's not just easy, it's effortless. And now it's included with Xfinity Internet for no additional cost. That's simple, easy, and awesome. Get Xfinity Internet for $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement and add a Flex 4K streaming device for no additional cost. It's two amazing services for the price of one. Go to Xfinity.com/Flex. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit an Xfinity store today. Ends 1-7-20. Restrictions apply. New performance starter internet customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change. After term regular rates apply. Is Butch Jones taking a job in college football? Say it ain't so. We'll talk about that right here on Morning Drive, 102.5 The Game. If you miss any of the show, we have moved our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search Morning Drive in Apple or Spotify or log on to thegamenashville.com to find our daily audio every single show. Rate, review, and subscribe today. Derek, rate, review, and subscribe, my friend.
Rate, review, subscribe. R-S.
R-R-S. Yeah, it was a good try.
Review. Rate, review, and subscribe. Yeah.
Not an RSS feed, an RRS feed. Yeah. I gotcha. Yeah. All right, Morning Drive back here on a Friday. And real quickly, before we get into around the college football world, because I do want to get to that, I do want to say that with all this Penny Hardaway stuff and Gino Auriemma and the Vanderbilt basketball women's basketball team, Jerry Stackhouse, I know they didn't particularly play well last night. And then, of course, the with Kelly Harper already getting a W, Rick Barnes, you got Casey Alexander at Belmont. There is a lot of attention in November.
Oh, yeah.
On college basketball in this state, unlike any other time I can remember. Fantastic.
It's good for college basketball here in the mid-state.
No question. So on Mondays, we go around the NFL, and Marquise gives us a couple of really big headlines from the NFL. We like to look at that. Since the Vols are off this week, I wanted to sort of go around. Alabama's playing Mississippi State on the road. They're like a 50-point favorite. Ohio State's literally a 51-point favorite. The top two or three teams are not going to be in danger this weekend. But Georgia is playing a big game, and there are a couple of other big games and some headlines. So let's go around the college football world, Marquise. Do you have any music for this, or are you just going to ask
some
questions?
No, I'm doing this dry. I'm doing this. All right, this is acapella right here.
All right, acapella Marquise.
All right, let's go. So Georgia and Florida. Okay. Acapella, let's go. All right, you know, check it. We in the cipher now? Good.
Yeah, let's
All right,
go.
Good.
I don't know what that means.
It's okay. All right, so Georgia, Florida this weekend. Obviously, that's going to be a big game in the SEC. Georgia Auburn. Yeah, I went brain fart.
Acapella, off to a good start here.
Yeah. Hey, sometimes lyrics don't flow off as well. But Georgia and Auburn, and to me, and tell me if you guys agree with this, because I look at the psyche of a lot of players, and ever since Joey Gatewood's transfer, I'm starting to look at Bo Nix now, and seems like he has a little bit more pressure on him, especially going into the two biggest games of his season so far on offense. And so I just believe that now he's having to have this mentality of, look, Joey Gatewood transferred. A lot of people did want him as the starter. Now I have to prove myself in these next two games. And what a big opportunity it could be by beating a Georgia team at home.
Is there a question in there, Marquise?
Yeah. Bo Nix. How is he going to do in this game against Georgia?
There you go. I think it actually frees him up. If you don't have a guy behind you, and you're not looking over your shoulder at a guy like Joey Gatewood, who would come in on fourth and one and goal line situations and kind of be their Tim Tebow to some degree, I think it frees you up to play more freely and loose. And so, listen, he's a good player, but if you look at his numbers in big games, they're not good. His completion percentage is under 50% against some of the best teams he's played against, whether it's LSU, Florida, and Oregon. I know that those are really good defenses, so those are going to lower your numbers, but this to me is about Bo Nix. I don't think he's good enough to keep up yet. I think he will be great. Yeah. I don't think he's good. Georgia defensively is really, really good. Bo Nix has not been good against those defenses yet. He's a true freshman, so I like Georgia this weekend.
I don't think the pressure. I think the pressure is more or less, you know, that Auburn has an opportunity to keep themselves in a talk for a national championship playoff game. This is how I see it. If they beat Georgia, they beat Alabama, they go to obviously they will not go to the SEC championship.
LSU technically could lose
exactly
three games.
LSU but then they can because there is going to be a one loss team, and there might be a two loss team that's still vying. It all depends on what happened in the Big Ten.
If there is a two loss team, the only team that would have a case would be Auburn because of their
quality.
That's
what
schedules.
Auburn, they keep themselves sort of in the conversation. If they beat Georgia, then beat Alabama, they keep themselves in the conversation.
Yeah, no big deal. Just beat number four, number five.
Exactly.
No big deal.
That's pressure alone. I think that's pressure for the whole team. Is there added pressure for Bo Nix?
He's clearly the guy.
Yeah, he's the guy. I don't know if there's any other pressure other than what I just said, and that's for everybody.
Yeah,
you know, just keep yourself in the playoff talk.
Listen, it's a small point spread, like 3.5, 3 points. I just think Georgia's offensive line is uniquely qualified to handle the. You could argue this is the best offensive line in America versus the best defensive line in America.
Yeah.
And that is one hell of a matchup to watch in the trenches. I just think Georgia's defense is uniquely qualified. They have been very, very good in big games against Notre Dame, against Florida. They have held – you know, Georgia hasn't allowed more than 20 points in a game all season. Clemson's the only other team in America that hasn't done that. So I think Georgia's defense wins. And then Fromm and Swift and the offensive line score just enough points. It looks a lot like a Florida-Georgia game, 24-14, 24-17, something like that. That would be my pick, Marquise.
All right, so another big game, Oklahoma and Baylor this weekend in Waco. And it seems like everybody's now taking the Big 12 out of the situation of the college football playoffs. But you got Oklahoma, who has this game against an undefeated Baylor team, and then you end the season with an Oklahoma State team, which you really don't know if they're going to be ranked or not. And then you obviously got the Big 12 championship. And if you're Baylor, you got a lot to prove in this game because you're undefeated. You're going against probably one of your best competitions this year. So if you were to make a conversation to put a Big 12 team back into it, what has to happen in this game? Is Oklahoma going to have to win convincingly? Is Baylor going to have to win convincingly? What's going to have to happen in these next three games or even in this game with the Big 12 possibly getting back in the conversation?
I mean, an undefeated 13-0 Baylor team who's a Big 12 champion probably gets in. The committee's never left out an undefeated Power 5 champion. But Oklahoma, I think, is the better team. It's why they're a 10-point favorite on the road against Baylor. Oklahoma's schedule is going to – you just mentioned it, Marquise, and it's a really good point. They play undefeated top 15 Baylor. They'll then play right now a ranked Oklahoma State team. Again, to your point, Marquise, they may not be ranked at the time, but they're going to play Oklahoma State. Then they'll play another Big 12 championship game, which is probably either Baylor or Texas, mm-hmm. another ranked team that they could beat. So they're probably going to win against three ranked teams. I think Oklahoma will build its resume over the next 3 weeks. If they continue to win, they will jump some teams ahead of them because some of those teams ahead of them are going to lose games.
Yeah. No matter what happens to Oklahoma, I don't think they get in unless they're Ooh. Too low. I just don't. Wow. I think they hurt themselves with that loss against K-State.
A ranked team right now.
Yeah, I don't think they get in. And I think the worst case scenario for the Big 12 is that Baylor lose. Then they have no – I mean, now they're completely out, at least in my eyes.
Okay.
They are completely out of it. The Big 12 is completely out of it. If the best thing for the Big 12, they want to get a team in, is that if Baylor wins and then come back and win again. Because now, like you said, you can't leave them out.
Yeah.
You can't because they would have
beaten 13-0. Yeah.
They would have beaten Oklahoma –
probably
we
twice.
Assume twice.
Yeah.
And regardless of how they've won their games close last week versus TCU
every
in overtime, every
them.
Game, yeah. it doesn't matter. If they go 13-0 and beat a top-ranked team twice in, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, then they have every right to have that argument to say we should be in the championship. If they lose, nobody from the Big 12 is getting in. That's just my feeling. I don't think nobody from the Big 12 is getting
in. The committee's weird. The highest-rated Big 12 team is 10th, so they don't like the Big 12.
Uh-huh.
But they got five teams ranked.
Exactly.
So they kind of like the Big 12. It's a weird dynamic so far.
So, Butch Jones back in the news once again.
Oh, Butchie Butch.
After getting turned down from the Rutgers job, because I believe he got turned down. I don't think it was.
He took his name out, Marquise. He took his name out.
Yeah, whatever. That's what.
I wouldn't want the Rutgers job.
That's like you try to ask for a girl's phone number, and then she says no. It's like, well, that's cool. You ain't that fine anyway. So that's basically what Butch Jones did to Rutgers. So now Butch Jones is back in the news because now he's being in consideration, and I'm using air quotes here, for the Arkansas job. Your thoughts? Butch Jones at Arkansas?
Talk about Butch.
Talk about wanting a job at Arkansas.
I'm going to go Derek Mason here. Listen, this is about Gus Malzahn and Gus Malzahn only. If Gus Malzahn wants the job at Arkansas, he will get the job at Arkansas. Arkansas desperately wants Gus. Auburn's preparing and looking for candidates to prepare if Gus leaves. I don't know why on God's green earth, if you're Arkansas, you would consider Butch Jones as your head football coach.
Yeah, me either. Butch, I would not, even though he has been in the Nick Saban coaching rehabilitation clinic, and I get it, it is probably the best clinic around, coaching clinic around.
Finest establishment in the country.
Absolutely. I would recommend that every
the
coach
robes
go
are
there.
Amazing.
Exactly. I would recommend every coach goes there, even if you hadn't been fired, go there.
Yeah.
I still am not trusting him at my Power 5 university. I'm not doing it.
No chance.
Let him go work at some other school. You know, maybe a lower level. Get that program built up
where cliches can win.
Exactly.
Cliches don't win in the SEC.
I do not want to hear brick by brick in Champions of Life.
He's going to be at North Texas in Denton, Texas.
You can do that
talking
at Denton,
about
Texas,
brick
yes.
by brick, and they're all going to be like, "This is amazing."
Yes, you can do that there.
He can build mailboxes all up and down the streets.
But tremendous. I will say this though: is it safe to say that with the USC job and Urban Meyer, with Florida State and Stoops and Arkansas and Gus Malzahn, those are pretty much
Those are huge.
I would say that those teams are blocking off what they want to do with their coaching. Urban's going to have to say no to USC. Stoops is going to have to tell us no at Florida State. And Gus is going to have to tell us no at Arkansas for all three of these teams to move forward with their hiring.
Yeah, 100%. It's a great point that this – what's fun about the carousel to me, what I love about it, is the dominoes. Mm-hmm. Like you're talking about, Marquise. Like if Urban Meyer says yes or no, it changes everything else about college football. Mm-hmm. If Urban Meyer says yes, well, then James Franklin maybe isn't a candidate. If Urban Meyer says no, then maybe they go to James Franklin and say, hey, come out to USC and coach. And maybe James Franklin's interested. And then all of a sudden Penn State's open. And then the dominoes start to fall. Maybe Matt Rhule, who's a Penn State alum at Baylor, is doing a great job. Maybe he wants the Penn State job. Mm-hmm. And then Baylor's open. And the dominoes keep falling. And so to your point, Marquise, we can't really move forward with, like, and again, USC, which is not open yet, by the way, mm-hmm. and there's rumors that maybe Clay Helton doesn't get fired, which I think is crazy. But if USC and Florida State are open, those are the two premier jobs that are available. They have to be decided on before Arkansas, because Arkansas is a lesser job, unless they think they can go get P.J. Fleck or some sort of rising star and get him to come now. I don't see and understand why Butch Jones is in the conversation at all.
But if I'm P.J. Fleck, do I go to Arkansas?
No,
do
I wouldn't.
Leave Minnesota
no,
to go
no,
to
I
Arkansas?
Wouldn't. No, he's got a young team coming back next year. Easier division. Now, he wants to leave eventually, but I don't think Arkansas is the right job for that. Also, speaking of Minnesota, they, are on the road, undefeated still, top 10 team in college football, on the road against Iowa. They are an underdog.
I know.
What does Vegas know? Iowa, 3-point favorite against Minnesota. So two undefeated teams this weekend, Baylor and Minnesota, both on the road as underdogs. We could be looking at a very different playoff picture, obviously with Georgia playing Auburn as well. So the playoff picture could be very different next week. As always, with college football. Teron Davenport, when we come back right here on Morning Drive. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall live from Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel in downtown. Marquise Munson back producing in the studio. And Teron Davenport, of course, from ESPN, joining us here. Got the podcast, got the radio show here with us, got all kinds of things you can find for him everywhere, all over the internets. Teron, how do you think the Titans, like yourself, how do you think the Titans are spending their bye week? What is the goal this weekend?
I think the goal for them is to rest up and come back healthy, ready to go. And when I say that, I'm talking about Corey Davis, Jayon Brown, Jarrell Casey, Delanie Walker. Those guys got to get back because this team needs them going down the stretch. So before I move on, though, that music is perfect. I guarantee you that Mama said knock you out is what – what Myles Garrett was listening to last night, man.
Oh.
That was,
man,
just...
I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, that was just unfortunate,
yeah, that was crazy,
man. Regardless of what went on, that was unfortunate. It was an unfortunate ending to a really good game that was played last night by Cleveland. Now, I'm not saying this was played well by Pittsburgh, but by Cleveland on a Thursday night. Brayden and I... We're going to get into some content later on in the show. And I want to kind of ask you before we get into this conversation. This team is relatively a young team. And now the second half of the season, they have to, as a team, this is where you need to pick up your play, the last stretch run, to try to make a playoffs. Which young individuals on this team you believe has earned the right to continue to be cornerstones of this team, not just the second half of the season, but moving on next year and years after that? Because there are a few guys that are on their last year of their rookie deal. There are some young guys that need contracts moving forward. But who do you believe has earned that right to be cornerstones of this team moving forward? Discounting Teddy Lewan because he's already signed.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't going to tell him anyway. I think it starts with Derrick Henry. That's the guy. I mean, he's shown that he is the one that they need to ride. He's shown that the offense revolves around him. Just the fact, I mean, you look, this team is, I think they're 10 and 5 over the last 2 years when he gets 15 or more carries. The bottom line is he's the focal point of that offense. So he's one. Really, I can't say anybody else who has an expiring contract, but I do think A.J. Brown, just as a total package, is putting himself in that position Defensively, as far as expiring contracts are concerned, Logan Ryan, he's a cornerstone. And I get it. He's not, you know, a young fella or anything like that. But his influence in the locker room, his play on the field, I mean, if he goes down, they are in trouble because they don't have anyone else that could play the nickel spot like he can. So I would say those two players as far as expiring contracts are concerned.
Teron Davenport joining us here covering the Tennessee Titans. And sort of the old D-Mace two-part question here. And one is, do you have any idea what Ryan Tannehill is looking for from a financial standpoint in the offseason? And two is, we know the administration was in on Marcus Mariota being the starting quarterback for the entirety of the season, or at least through the offseason. When do you think Mike Vrabel changed his opinion to Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, I know the popular thing right now is, you know, we're going through the revisionist history, right? We're going back and saying, hey, you know, I tried to tell in August, I've known since August that Mariota wasn't the guy that they wanted. I don't believe that. I think it really started. I'm going to say that Bills game was when that doubt started to creep into Mike Vrabel's mind. And then it was reinforced in the Broncos game, and he did what he had to do. Now, as far as what Tannehill's looking for, that's a really good question. I don't know what he's looking for, but I think the Titans have to be careful, right? They have to be very careful not to get caught up in this streak that's going on right now because, look, end of the day, we know what Ryan Tannehill has been over the pretty much whole part of his career, right? I mean, this is a guy, remember, the Dolphins paid millions to have him not play for them. So you got to be careful with what you do contract-wise. I think personally he should be a bridge guy, and they're going to have to get somebody in this draft. Now, if they don't get somebody, then they're in a little bit of trouble. But I'm not sure what contract he's looking for.
Now, we all know what's going on. We have to talk about it, the whole Colin Kaepernick thing. I don't want to get into, you know, whether I believe it's a farce or not. I do, but we talked about it yesterday, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on. But do you think someone from the Tennessee Titans organization will head down to Atlanta to at least see what he looks like as a player? Because they have no quarterback on a contract for next year. We know they're going to draft one. But other than that, you don't know what Tannehill is going to be asking for. He might be asking for a little bit too much, and you don't want to go back to Marcus again. So do you think they send someone to Atlanta to at least check out Kaepernick and see what he looks like?
Yeah, my opinion of that workout is along the lines of yours. But I think they are going to send somebody there, just like you said, because you have to – turn over every rock. So I think they'll have somebody there. Now, how seriously they take that and how much weight they put on that is probably a different story. But I think they'll have somebody there. Right now, I think it's up to 11 teams.
And that means, because you just said, you think we're not sure what Ryan Tannehill is going to ask for. We're assuming Marcus Mariota is not a part of the equation and that a draft pick is. It like there's still two. There's so many moving parts here, Teron, that to try to project what this roster and that quarterback room looks like next year is virtually impossible. I mean, the smart money, or at least the smart decision, in my opinion, is Ryan Tannehill on a bridge deal with a rookie quarterback backing him up. But what happens if Ryan Tannehill wants $26 million or $22 million like Teddy Bridgewater or Nick Foles? They're not going to pay. Are they going to pay that level of money for Ryan Tannehill? Or do you go to Marcus and say, hey, are you willing to play for $15 million? I don't think the fan base would revolt with that. And or do you want to start a rookie quarterback? Like, what are the solutions here?
Yeah, I don't think there's any way you could go back to Marcus. I don't think it's possible. That ship is gone. That's a good question about Tannehill because, yeah, I mean, we're sitting here saying that he's a bridge guy. He should be there to, you know, help train his replacement. But at the same time, is he going to be willing to do that? So that's an awesome question. Quarterback-wise in the draft, I mean, who knows where this Titans team is going to end up. So do you want to pony up the next couple drafts and move up and get whoever should be there, or are you going to kind of play your cards and hope a Jalen Hurts, a Jordan Love, or Jacob Eason, those kind of guys are there? So there are a lot of moving parts. Like I said, you have to be very careful with this Tannehill situation, because you could catch yourself in a situation where you're overpaying for something that isn't a whole season's worth of production. So there are so many moving parts, and it's just I'm glad I'm not John Robinson. I'll put it that way.
Now, with the emergence, and I say that lightly, with the emergence of A.J. Brown, because the numbers are not gaudy, but he's a rookie and he's still learning. He's made some big plays. He's also dropped some big passes that they needed. But all in all, I think the young kid is learning, and they think he's going to be a player in this league. With that being said, what do you think they are thinking in regards to Corey Davis? Because it just seems like this year, quietly, Corey Davis has just – I don't know if he's regressed, but we're not looking at him in the same light as we did last year. Because I thought last year he made a huge jump into proving, okay, I can be the guy. And then this year, I don't know if it's because of quarterback situation or whatnot. It just seems like he slipped back into that year two mode.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the thing that's kind of crazy, because he showed flashes last year. Right, uh-huh. You got the Patriots game. You got the Eagles game. Those were signs that, hey, you know what? This guy can be the player they were looking at with the number 5 overall pick. But you're right. I feel like he has regressed. And what I'm not seeing is just that assertiveness from him. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying, where it's like you don't get the ball. You're demanding the ball. You know, you get the ball, you do everything you can with it, because you don't know when the next time you're going to get it. I'm not seeing that from him this year. So I'm curious how they approach that situation. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, unless they get someone in the draft this year, you know, they're going to have to figure out a way to bring him back when his contract's up. But that deal is going to – and honestly, this is one thing I just thought of. When his contract's up, who's to say that he wants to be here?
Exactly.
I know if I was him, I would be looking at what Michael Thomas is doing with the Saints. And I'm not saying that he's a better player than Thomas, but I'd be looking at it and saying, wow, see, that's how you set an offense up, and you get a receiver involved. You know, so who's to say that he wants to stay here once his time is up?
Teron Davenport, enjoy the off week, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate it. Enjoy that fine food there at Kitchen Nook.
It is fine.
I just had a cheese pizza biscuit, Teron. How's that sound?
That sounds extravagant.
All right, man. Thank you so much. Teron Davenport, everybody.
All right,
from
man. Y'all take it easy.
Be good, dude. ESPN there covering all things the Tennessee Titans. And I want to get into what you brought up with him when we come back, and that is – We know sort of the veterans, the established guys. Kevin Byard's been paid. Taylor Lewan's been paid. We know that there's a massive quarterback question moving forward for the Tennessee Titans. But I want to look at the young nucleus on this roster and ask you, who has earned the spot? Who has proven that they belong as a part of the core? We look at the Preds all the time.
Exactly.
And we talk about the core of the Predators and them being together. Who is the core of the Titans? Who's earned that spot and who's not? We'll get into that when we come back right here on Morning Drive. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesale Link studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. That is where Marquise Munson is. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here at Kitchen Notes, of course, in the Omni Nashville Hotel. And that is where Marquise, back in the studio, has landed another qualifier. Of course, Roman Josi, the Nashville Predator there, of course, was the voice that you heard in that call to win. Again, you can check that out. Again, 7 a.m. hour, 11 a.m. hour, and 3 p.m. hour. You'll have a couple more chances to qualify today. And Kevin Lee got it right. So, Kevin Lee, congratulations. You've qualified for a chance to win the Winners Classic Celebration. Fly away to Dallas. That means If you do win that, you get round-trip airfare, hotel accommodations, a pair of tickets to see Skannered with special guests, the Almond Betts Band, and Asleep at the Wheel at the American Airlines Center on Tuesday on New Year's Eve, a pair of tickets to see the Preds and the Stars at the Cotton Bowl, of course, in the Winter Classic on January 1st. Prizes courtesy of Outback.
Yeah, so, and today's Outback qualifier will be announced today, 5:30, Jared and the GM. So make sure they listen there. That's where the announcement will be
made.
The
winner. The winner. The qualifier.
Oh, yeah, the winner will be announced there. So two more chances to qualify.
11 a.m., 3 p.m. hours, you'll qualify two more people. And then today at 5:30, we will announce the winner of the Winter Classic Celebration Flyaway. So that's some cool stuff right there.
Yeah, because I want to see Asleep at the Wheel. That sounds like an interesting band.
That seems like an odd name to call yourself.
Yeah, that's what that's
you're like, that's like, hey, Derek, you want to start an EDM band and call ourselves Ambien? Like, let's just start a band.
That'd be a cool name, though.
Call ourselves Theraflu.
That'd be, good
Profen.
Right,
Profen. Like,
all right, so Tennessee Titans, I just wanted to have a real quick conversation because we've looked a lot at contracts. Mm-hmm. We do this with the Preds. We do this with every sports team, professional. And we look at who's expiring. We know that Tannehill and Marcus contracts are up at the end of the year. We know Derrick Henry, Logan Ryan are guys that they're going to have to deal with as far as contracts that are up at the end of the year. There's a handful of other guys as well. The Preds have to deal with this with Craig Smith and Mikael Granlund. Mm-hmm. And we just dealt with the Roman Josi contract. My question for you is, of the young players, for example, Harold Landry to me and Rashawn Evans, the first and second round pick 2 years ago, mm-hmm. have proven to me that they deserve second contracts here in Nashville and are a part of the core of the Tennessee Titans moving forward. Number one, do you agree with that? And number two, who else, in your opinion, has deserved and earned the right to be a part of the young core moving forward into the next generation of Titans football?
Now, the good thing, I think you're spot on with Harold Landry and Rashawn Evans. I think those two guys, if you're building a defense, the way you want your inside backer and you want your outside rusher. And Harold Landry has shown this season that he's picking up on what's going on. He's adapting to the NFL way of life. And if he stays healthy, he's only going to get better. He's adding more moves. He's beginning to understand offenses. He's beginning to understand the nuances on how to beat particular players. So he's only going to get better. Rashawn Evans is the signal caller in the middle of the defense. He's a guy that has gotten better as well. He's kind of this jack of all trades too. He can cover, you know, sideline to sideline. He can rush the quarterback if need be, but he could be their potential future signal caller. So I think those two guys on the defensive side of the ball, you got to start with. Obviously, Simmons is there, but he's a rookie, so he's under contract for a few more years. But if you're talking about guys contracts that are going to expire next season or the season after, then I think you need to really hone in on Rashawn Evans and Harold Landry, those two guys, because your safety's locked up.
Kenny Vaccaro's locked up,
too. Kenny Vaccaro's locked up. Adoree Jackson is another guy.
That's what I was going to – has he earned the second contract, in your opinion?
Adoree Jackson has been so up and down. He's played fairly well the last couple of weeks, but he had a patch where he wasn't playing well, dating back to last year. And so much so he got benched, and you know, he was the third corner. He's worked his way back up to being a starter. That's a tricky one on defense, because you figure
corners get paid a lot of money.
Corners get paid a lot of money. Is he a shutdown corner? He doesn't get a lot of interceptions. He has lapses in his game. I think he's a good corner. Is he a shutdown corner? He hasn't proved that yet.
Could you argue that one of the silver linings, again, terrible injury to Malcolm Butler. Mm-hmm. He was playing good football. It was bad to lose him. One of the silver linings is that now Adoree Jackson is just going to be thrown into the fire, and we're going to learn through six games what he's made of?
Yeah, I think this is sort of a
– sink or swim?
This is his way. This is his time now to show that – you know, whatever woes I had, they're over with. And now I'm ascending rather than descending as a player, because sometimes you're able to prove yourself through injury. And it's unfortunate that guys have to go down in order for that to happen. But that could be the situation for Adoree. Like, now he has to prove that he can be consistent in his league. And he has it up until this point. Well, up until like a couple of weeks ago. So he's the interesting one on defense, I believe. You know, do you – you don't franchise him because that's a lot of money. Do you sign him to a 2 or 3 year deal, a 3 year deal, and kind of, you know, do it that way? I don't know how you I mean, because Logan Ryan,
they're asking for 10 or 11 million.
You can't give him that,
right?
He hasn't, because Logan Ryan's still young. He's under 30, so you figure he's still got 3-4 more years at really good play. Malcolm Butler was playing well. He's young. You just can't afford. Then you're already paying two guys 9-10 million. At the corner position, you're paying your safety a boatload of money.
It's a buttload too.
Yeah, buttload too. And then you can't then give all this money to Adoree Jackson too. Now he may be able to go get it somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't know, he's one of those guys that he's the guy that you just don't know about
on offense. Now Jack Conklin is an interesting one because he's expiring at the end of the year, but it seems like they've made it clear through their actions that they want to pay him as a guard and he doesn't want that money. So let's kind of take him off the table. But real quickly here, because we're up against it, Derrick Henry, we know your feelings on Derrick Henry.
Exactly.
They should sign him. Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, of those three guys?
I think Jonnu is the guy. I think you have to get him under contract. How much you pay him, I don't know.
I think you can get him for cheap.
Yeah, I think you have to put him under contract because he's the one guy with Delaney getting up there in age. He's dealing with injury. I don't think Delaney's back next year, and I don't think it has anything to do with his play. I think they're just going to want to move on from Delaney. I think he's going to go somewhere else and be terrific. But you have to sign Jonnu. You have to get him under contract for the long term. Corey Davis is another. He's tricky, kind of like Adoree Jackson. He's had up and down play. It just hadn't been consistent. Now, you can blame the whole quarterback situation and whatnot, but it just seems like for whatever reason, his play or his involvement in the offense has decreased or had declined.
Well, and you can't blame – if you're Corey Davis, you can't blame Marcus.
Exactly. Because now
he's not been the guy.
Yeah, now you got a quarterback – That's going to get you the ball. And he's been injured. He didn't play last game. So he's another guy like Adoree Jackson that is tricky. But I think you need to sign Derrick Henry. I think you need to sign Jack Conklin. I don't think there's anybody else on that roster.
Sign Conklin, huh? Even for $14 million?
I don't know if
dollars?
I would give him 15, 14.
If he wants tackle 12, money.
I can give him 12 for a right tackle.
They're running out of money 11, here at this 12. Point. We're going to give $10 million to Logan, $10 million to Adoree, $10 million to Derrick Henry.
They are the third. They're third in cap space.
They do
have a lot. Yeah. So they got a lot of money. And I don't see them, honestly, I don't see them signing Adoree Jackson back. I really don't. Once his contract expires, I think he's going to go somewhere else and make a buttload of money, a boatload and a buttload.
Yeah, either one. Not sure which one's bigger.
And I think Corey Davis is going to be another one that's gone. So
I
then
can see
that opens up money for everybody.
Like
else.
If you're Corey Davis, why not go play for Green Bay or New Orleans?
Go play
or
for somebody that's going to get you the football.
Yeah, and because again, it's clearly not Marcus's fault, and maybe that's Corey Davis's fault. Who knows? We'll see. A lot to discuss here with contracts and the Tennessee Titans. However, we'll make you guys some money. Speaking of money, when we come back, we'll do a little gambling here on Morning Drive.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.